can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Well, as we always do, Don, let's turn that off. We have a diverse range of people we like to speak to, and no need to go through all the diverse categories of people we've spoken to over the 2 years we've been doing this, but this is no different. We have a person in here today who we're going to speak to who is running as an independent for the seat of Brighton in the upcoming state election. And without any further information about this person, because we're going to ask her as we go, we're going to do this off the top of our head because we only decided that we'd ask this person in yesterday because she was at the launch of her campaign, I think. And someone rang me and said, would you like to speak to this person? He said, I would. So we welcome to You Cannot Be Serious, the independent member running for the seat of Brighton, Felicity Federico, OAM. Welcome, Felicity.
Thank you, Sam.
Did I get any of that right?
Perfect.
All of it.
Perfect.
Now, Felicity, before we start, not necessarily are you in here because we're endorsing you to be the candidate, but we have no reason not to endorse you, but we're not paid political acolytes of yours, but we're very interested to speak to you about what you're on about and why you're standing. I know from my limited research that you stood three times to be pre-selected for the Liberal Party, and for some reason you've been overlooked, I presume, and I'm wondering if you are now standing as an independent because this is sour grapes.
Absolutely not. So I was a member of the Liberal Party for 17 years. I think it's important to understand the party I left is not the party I joined.
I see it says that. I was going to ask you why you say that, or do you want to worry about me asking you? You'll tell me. And so, Don.
I left the Liberal Party earlier this year. I'm not running because it's sour grapes. I'm running because I don't believe...
These are just provocative questions, Felicity, that's all.
Liberal Party are listening. I think, a couple of reasons I joined the Liberal Party, I believe in free enterprise, I believe in nurturing individuals, businesses, etc. They're still really important values to me, but the things that have come to the forefront are, integrity, climate and equality, and they're the platforms I'm running on. And for me, it's really important that our representatives actively listen to the community. To be a representative,
yes,
it is a position of privilege. It's not an entitlement.
So you've been in the public domain for most of your life or adult life? Well, you were in the food industry and various industries and jobs, vocations, not jobs. But you've been in local council and you've been the mayor of Brighton?
Bayside.
I beg your pardon, the Bayside mayor. So you've been in the public domain, it says that you are unable to drive change. That's why you quit the Liberal Party. You are unable to drive change. The party I left was not the one I joined. Did you cover that, what you said, or...?
Why
isn't it the one you joined? What has changed about... What did they do that made you disenchanted with the direction they're headed in?
Didn't do.
Yeah, okay, let's look...
Thank you, Max.
Let's look at some of the facts, okay?
Yes,
so in
good.
The lower house at the moment, there is not one female in a metropolitan lower house seat from the Liberal Party. To represent your community, you mentioned the word before, you've got a wide range of diverse guests. You need diversity. You need people with different voices at the table to represent the community. So how can you represent the community when you don't have one female in a metropolitan lower house
state? So you're saying that females are not being asked to join, or should you also look at the fact that maybe females are not qualified? You should take the best qualified person.
Yes, but okay, so that goes into the argument of merit. So what's your definition of merit?
I think the best person for the job, I don't care whether you, what it is, but are you just saying there should be a woman for the sake of having a female voice?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But you need to provide pathways, you need to mentor females, and it's interesting, and this is a generalisation, but most females have got strong community volunteer backgrounds. So why are you telling me that is... And most males pre-selected come from very traditional political staffers. So it's interesting that the community is not of the same importance as what being a political staffer is in the selection of candidates. Does that make sense?
So it's not, you're not saying it should be a quota system, it should be based on meritocracy, but the Liberals didn't nurture females who represent probably 51% of the population. They don't nurture them enough to give diversity or equity or inclusion enough.
Sam, I actually believe quotas. I've changed my mind.
Yes, quotas. You believe in a quota system.
I do believe in quotas as an interim measure, and I believe that our representation should be, you know, 40% male, 40% female, and 20%, you know, to make up the difference.
Irrespective of whether man or woman, irrespective of qualifications or capabilities.
Because we need representation that represents and reflects our community, and at the moment it's not, so you need to change some of those levers as an interim.
You were going to say something, Max, were you not? No, you weren't. No.
Can I ask a question? Because I joined the Victoria Party and unfortunately they're not going ahead. And in my research before I joined, I was told, and it seems to be happening, there's going to be a lot of independents standing at this year's Victorian election.
Yes.
Do you think with all this independent, well, we've got a new party federally, do you think it'll flow on that the Teals, for example... are in federal government. Now, they're a splinter organisation. I shouldn't say that. To a degree. They're elected, but to me, they're ineffective in federal politics because, you know, Labor hold the majority. Do you think with the independents, you know, the number of independents going into the Victoria, if that happens, there will be a consensus?
Yeah, so I actually disagree with you, Don, because I think they have been effective at a federal level. You know, when you look at a couple, they are influencing and driving outcomes on the last couple of bills, probably more so, in my mind, than the opposition. And going back to your other question, Sam, am I a Teal? Teal is a colour, it's not a party.
No, you said you weren't a Teal.
I'm not. I'm an independent.
But the Teals are meant to be independent, aren't they?
I suppose there is no difference. Teals are a group. As I said, it's a colour. It's not necessarily a party because we are all independents. We are all individuals.
Yes, but you... Felicity, the Teal, of course, is a colour and it's blue and bluey turquoise or something to vaguely represent the Liberal Party but not... represent the Liberal Party, but you made a point of saying you're actually not a Teal. I think you made a point of saying you're not a Teal, but does it matter?
No, I don't think it does matter.
So the Teal's main, I'm only getting this off the off the wires, if you like, the Teal's main platform seems to be about emissions and climate and the quality of air that we breathe. Is that, or is that too simplistic to say that?
I think... So my platform's very, you know, it's about integrity, climate and equality. And, yes, that is similar to the platforms that a lot of the, if you want to call them Teals or independents, are running on. because that's what the community is asking for.
Do you think
they are? I do.
Yep.
I do.
So we have these constant discussions about the climate and what affects it and what drives it and electric cars and all that. What can we do? What can individuals do to improve the climate? I mean, there's nothing we can do,
Well, I think there are things that we can do.
Like what?
Okay.
No, I'm interested.
You know, it's interesting that, you know, when the state government passes legislation, it benchmarks it against the Human Rights Charter. Why don't we come up with some sort of a climate charter so you have a climate lens on your legislation and you look at the impact on air quality and pollution and emissions?
I'm 100% with you, but then the next question is, and how do you do that? What can you do as an individual or me to improve the quality of air? You're saying don't drive a car, don't turn your air conditioning on, or don't smoke. What does it mean?
Well, and there's lots
the
of,
only
yeah,
people
so,
that
so there's such so you know if you so every time you pass legislation, if you ran it by a climate lens,
yes,
like a climate charter,
yes,
that would have a positive impact.
Yes,
because you would look at the impact it would have.
But that doesn't have a positive impact on me unless someone can tell me, well, this is how we're going to improve the climate. And it's
okay.
Whether you like it or not, don't drive your car or don't have a fly interstate.
So
or
let me give you another example.
Yes.
So planning scheme.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we look at levers in the planning scheme, for example, to retain, you know, water retention on property so it's not stormwater going out into the bay? Why don't we look at increasing our tree canopy? Why
yes.
don't we look at, you know, do we all need gas connections?
Yes.
These are just questions I'm throwing up. So looking at the levers that we can change.
Fantastic. All that's great. I agree with all that.
Yeah.
Why, when half of Australia is underwater in the rainy season, why couldn't we pipe most of that down to the areas that need it? All that, I agree with all that.
Yeah.
But that's got nothing. We can't do anything about that.
But individually we can.
Individually or collectively?
Well, both, individually and collectively. Because change, you know, it's like a ripple. And that ripple needs to become a momentum to become, if you like, a tidal wave of change. So it is individually and it's collectively. But you've got to start somewhere.
Because the world is controlled by probably four or five main manufacturers in the world, and that's people who produce food, manufacturing, automobiles, and probably a couple of others that we have no input or no influence over at all. We're just sitting here waiting for someone to come up with a new way to power industry or grow food. So I'm always intrigued, and I agree with everything you say, because we're all want to preserve the country and the climate, but I have no idea how we go about doing it.
But Sam, it's really interesting, you know, running as an independent, because, you know, I have done a lot of research, particularly in regards to the climate. And I only discovered the other day that the native forest logging industry is costing taxpayers $22 million a year.
In what way?
State government is propping up the native forest logging industry by $22 million a year. So why do we need to be cutting down native forest, native trees?
No, very good point. So if we, it's just on that. So if we don't...
So what are you advocating instead?
Yes.
New growth forest.
Well, fair enough. No, arguing.
And why don't we put that $22 million towards forest management?
Okay, so if you...
No, you get no argument.
It's just a no-brainer.
Yeah, fine.
You know, it's a very expensive employment project.
So if, for example, if you travel over towards Mount Gambier, where the huge pine tree plantations are... To come on stream, I think a tree takes... Does it take 30 years to come on stream? So they have segmented areas where the trees grow and they pull them down, They cut them down.
And that's new growth, not native.
No, yeah, no, that's pine. No, they're all pine. Yeah,
which is good.
It is. It's a hybrid growth that is that is planned, and they wait for the trees to grow up, and then they go and log them, and then they've already planted them over there. And it's a 25-year rolling cycle, and they provide there is thousands of acres of those trees, and it's quite impressive. And they send all the wood chips overseas, and so that's fantastic. So why are we cutting down native trees?
I don't know. It makes no sense. So the current plan at the moment is the state government will stop that in 2030. Why don't we stop it now?
But the native trees, can I go back a little bit? I agree with you, but I'm just going to be devil's advocate here. I talked to old bushmen. Do you know there weren't any trees in the Alps or the hills in years gone by?
No, I didn't know that, Don.
Yeah.
No.
And I don't know why, but why are these native trees growing? That fascinates me because, as these old bushmen said, we used to be able to ride through there and there were no trees. Now it's just about impenetrable. It's all very well saying that, but I agree with you. Don't get me wrong, I agree with you. But I think a lot of things with regard to climate, we mentioned it before, My Country, the poem by Dorothy McKellar. We're a unique country and it comes back to climate. At the moment, the farmers are going to have an unbelievable season as far as cropping goes. But 4 years ago, they were in dire straits because of, there was no rain.
Now, Felicity Federico, well, someone said, why don't you keep mentioning every now and again who you're actually speaking to? And I said, so I'll take this on board. So Felicity Federico, who is standing to be the independent member for Brighton, standing against Mr. Let me just see who you're standing against. I wrote his name down here, James Newbury.
Correct.
And he has a 1.1% margin or something. Yeah, that's all you need to unseat Mr. Newbury, is it?
So there's been a redistribution.
Oh, I see.
And according to Mr. Anthony Green, it's now 0.6%.
Okay. So you are very likely, along with Mr. Newbury, it'll just be it's too close to call, or is your tracking say that you're on track to take the seat?
The polling is very positive, and I have to say, anecdotally, there's a massive appetite for change because it's almost like there's a cohort of politically homeless. Those that don't want to vote Liberal, those that don't want to vote Labor, and they're looking for a choice.
And what type of competition? How many are actually standing for the seat of
Brighton? I reckon maybe about 5-6.
So how many independents?
The writs haven't been called yet, so we don't know exactly how many. It's just how many are campaigning at the moment. So maybe 5 or 6.
The other interesting thing, I've got a friend who's involved down at My Way in raising money, and he's politically backing the Liberal candidate down there, and talking to him, is money a real object, and why do you have to have so much, it seems like a lot of money, to mount a campaign?
So state is very different to federal. So state,
this is his state.
Yeah, so donations are capped. So the most one individual can give, and someone running, is $4,320. The interesting thing is, as an independent, donations to me are not tax deductible until November. Donations to the major parties are tax deductible, so it's not a level playing field.
I think that's what Ian Cook said what you're saying. He said it's just a discrepancy which is very hard to overcome.
Yeah. Ian Cook standing as an independent for the seat of Mulgrave.
I wish him luck.
You said the problem is that the people who vote for independence, while they influence the decisions of government, the people tend to be, do they not, be put off a little because they know that they'll never be able to run government. They'll never be in government to make any of those changes come to the light of day.
So, Sam, the other side of the coin
is good.
If I was running as a candidate for a major party and I was making promises, funding promises, those promises will only come to fruition if that party becomes the government. If that party doesn't become the government, those
yes.
they're hollow promises.
Yep.
So my argument to that is I will advocate.
If you give your preferences to a company.
Regardless of who is in the government.
Yes, that's right. You give your preferences to someone on the basis that they will take on board what your philosophy
well,
is.
Well, not necessarily the preferences, but I'll just be a really good stone in the shoe.
Yeah, so you said also, I'm interested in this, you said you want to protect the bay because you swim in it?
You're a hamburger. Hamburgers are icebergs that swim at Hampton.
Fantastic. A hamburger. Haven't heard that before. So you're a hamburger. The bay, is the bay not in good condition or are we knocking it about? Because I have a boat. I like clean water and going out on the bay. What's wrong with the bay?
I'm very passionate about the bay. It's our biggest piece of open space in Melbourne. At the moment, there's around 20 statutory bodies, all with decision-making capabilities regarding the bay. So it's a bit of a dog's breakfast. Back when I was on the Bayside Council, I was president of the Association of Bayside Municipalities. We were trying to actually come up with what dollar was invested into the bay each year. You can't, it's a dog's breakfast. So I think we need to streamline the decision making, so have some efficiencies there, focus on water quality, marine life, erosion, sea level. And the other big thing is infrastructure around the bay. Make sure it's fit for purpose and multi-purpose.
Infrastructure around the bay.
Yeah,
what's that mean?
You know, the anglers clubs, the yacht clubs, yeah. The life-saving clubs. You know, some of them are decaying, some of them are...
Oh, I see.
And
so
some of them are single-use. I think they should be multi-use.
What about the quality of water and the fishing and the Babylon? What did we stop...
Oh, can I tell you...
Yes.
If I can swear, the quality of water is shit at the moment.
Really?
And how do we improve it? See, this bit like the climate. Yeah. How do we do something about it?
Great question. We can focus on the sewerage going, the treated sewerage going out into the bay.
So is this Werribee?
Werribee and Altona. So we've got
90%
of the treated, they call it Class C water, is currently going out into the bay. There will come a time in the next, I don't know how long, next couple of years where that will actually start impacting on the water quality. So the question is, why don't we send that water back to irrigate?
Yep.
You get no argument.
Yeah. So the one thing, stormwater is another big thing. We need to, and particularly, you know, when we talk about stormwater going out into the bay, swimming on Monday, honestly, it was like swimming in a tip.
Yeah, because the water comes down when it rains from the Yarra and it just goes
correct.
Out. So how do you stop that? The Yarra flows into the bay. How do you possibly stop that? I have a boat there and I have dogs float past me, bikes. bikes don't float. I have dogs and animals and tree stumps and rubbish and it just flows down there. And unless the councils have catchment areas, which it's like throwing cream puffs at the town hall, most of it just gets swept out into the bay.
But it's one of these things, unless we actually address and acknowledge that there is a problem, it's never going to be fixed. And the loser is the bay. So I don't know
With regard to it, you just mentioned about, I'm sorry, you just twigged on something, that's infrastructure. What about other things in infrastructure? I've got a real bane about the local government. We're all proactive, or the government is proactive in new ventures, but what about maintaining...
You're into heritage protection, aren't you?
You talk about the sewerage. That's infrastructure that should be maintained and looked at. Roads are a disgrace around the state.
Yeah, but this is Brighton. Yeah.
Beg your pardon? But this is part of the state government.
Well, see, not in the state government. Felicity's trying to stand to make the people of Brighton give them a voice. Don, she's got nothing to do with building the roads, has she?
No, most of our roads in, so total bay management, that's my approach. You mentioned something about heritage.
You said you're into for better heritage protection. Does that mean that you don't want high rise, but you're preserving the, what does that mean?
Okay, so, excuse me, in the Bayside area, which is a major component of Brighton, we have development zones and residential zones.
Yep.
In the development zones, and all four of those, because we need development, I would like to advocate for mandatory height controls.
Yes.
So that's where I talk about, you know, heritage, and maintaining our character, neighbourhood character.
Yeah, you don't want Miami style high rise buildings on the coast, on the beaches. No, that's fair enough, because people that you mentioned about. I just bring this up. I think you say treat the sewage and send it back for growing agriculture, but I've got a feeling that a deleterious effect on the market gardeners in Werribee was when they did use the treated sewage, people didn't want to buy produce that had been grown with human sewage.
Was that what they call Class C water? Because
someone told me that they found it very hard to sell their produce either locally or interstate because when it came from Werribee, and so they put something else on, they used to call it Point Cook or something. When it came from Werribee, they just didn't want to know that it had been grown in effluent,
I wonder if attitudes have now changed.
Yes. I wonder, but I know that someone told me that they found it very hard to overcome that stigma.
Yeah, but it just wouldn't be Werribee that would be the beneficiary. It would be Melbourne's greater food bowl.
Yes. Felicity, I'm staggered that Class C sewage goes into the bay. Why, if you can have a desalination plant down in Gippsland that costs $1 million a minute to run and it'll give you pure drinking water, why can't you have pure treated sewage that goes into the bay? What's Class C mean? Close enough's good enough.
Yeah, good question. But see, these are questions that we need to be raising.
Can I ask you something about your pamphlet here? You've got a little footnote at the bottom. Am I interpreting this correctly as a little bit of angst, if I was to read it out? Please note that the domain name for FelicityFrederico.com was registered by Edward Burke on the 18th of August or something along that line.
Correct.
So is this a tactic by...
Yeah, so Edward J. Burke, who...
No, I want him to speak into the microphone, is what I want him to speak
Edward
into.
Edward J. Burke is a Liberal Party member who is actively supporting and assisting the Liberal candidate in his campaign.
They've tried to nobble you.
Have registered three domain names, felicityfrederico.com.au, felicityfrederico.com and felicityforbrighton.com. Interestingly enough, the Age reporters told me that at one particular point in time, until they reported it in the newspaper, these websites were going to the Liberal candidate's webpage. That's no longer happening.
So is this also happening with other independents that are standing?
To best of my knowledge, just me.
Why have you been singled out?
Good question. I reckon they're rattled. What do you think?
So let me... I'm are you saying that the Liberal Party have not registered your name so you can't use them in an attempt
Correct.
To nobble you?
Correct.
That's extraordinary. That's dirty politics, isn't it?
At its worst. And they're trying to run on a platform of integrity.
Yeah, no, that seems ridiculous. If you can't win on your merits. And as I say, we're not endorsing you. I'm just saying that just seems extraordinary.
It's actually creepy.
It is a bit.
So in the seat of Brighton, Liberal and the rest are independents, is that right?
Is Labor standing?
Yeah,
Labor are standing, and I'm assuming that there'll be a Greens, I don't know. And then you'll have a couple of the other minor parties, I suspect.
Felicity Frederico, I read this again. It seemed to suggest that you were not as tough on crime as you about what's going on, or you are tough on crime. You think the police?
What do you mean by tough on crime?
Anti-social behaviour being really stamped out, and the police presence protecting the people who live in the communities for a whole lot of different reasons.
Okay, Sam. There is, first of all, there's not a major crime issue in the Brighton electorate. Let's just be quite clear on that. I note that the Liberal candidate is advocating for a police station in Church Street. Yep. You'd be familiar with Church Street. Yep. It's not the crime capital of the world. It's interesting when you speak to personnel from VicPol, they say the only time people go to police stations these days is to get a stat deck signed. Yep. So I don't know how a police station is going to solve this so-called crime wave in Church Street. I would suggest increased visibility, if there is a problem, which I don't really think there is, with mobile, you know, patrols.
Yep.
A police car these days is like a mobile police station anyway.
No, absolutely. But is it possible to be not so worried about crime in areas where it's not happening, but then just in the next suburb or a few away, you should be tougher on crime because that's where the action is, if you like. That's where the majority of antisocial behaviour. Can you say, oh, well, we won't be tough on crime just over this border, but when you're across the street, we've got to be tough on crime over there? Has it got to be a general blanket?
But this is the advantage of having, you know, increasing visibility with mobile cars, because you can actually put the police where the problem is. And it's not a static problem. It's dynamic.
We're only just asking the questions, Felicity, and you're doing a very good job of answering them.
Thank you, Sam.
While we're not necessarily endorsed again, we're delighted to have you.
You will be in a minute.
Yeah, we're endorsing you. We'll have to wear that T-shirt, Felicity for Brighton. Humans of Hampton, is that another one of your... Humans of Hampton, what's that mean?
Is that just a slogan? No. That was an interview I did a number of years ago by a lovely person, Lisa, who lives in the local area. And
is that in the paper or the magazine? I read all that.
Yeah, so she just had this website called Humans of Hampton.
Oh, was it?
And
she'd
do various...
she interviewed
stories.
You. I read that. That went on. That was a hell of a long interview.
Yes.
That was about... That's where I got all your life.
I don't
life.
Think it was edited.
No, it wasn't edited. Now, it says also, were you bullied and physically attacked by people in the Liberal Party?
Yeah, there was an incident. Yeah, there was. I was having a conversation. There was probably about 10 of us standing around. It was actually with council officers. And the mayor of the day, who was a Liberal, didn't like what I said, and he got his hand and physically pushed my face out of the conversation.
Did he? That's extraordinary.
And it was extraordinary. It was unacceptable.
That is unacceptable. Felicity, no matter who does it to whom, is unacceptable.
And it was not expected.
Is there a thing between you and the Liberal? Because I think you've stood or tried to go pre-selection on a number of occasions, three times previously, yet you haven't got there. Is there some dynamic within and the Liberal Party?
Can I just answer that question? Say it's really interesting at the moment with the amount of phone calls I've had from current and former Liberal Party members and even MPs supporting me in what I'm doing. So, and you're always going to have some that don't support you, but I've been overwhelmed by the number that are supporting me. So to answer your question, is there a problem with me in the... Put it this way, I left the Liberal Party and I don't have any regrets leaving the Liberal Party after 17 years.
Why did you leave?
I understand
that, but what I'm trying to get at is somebody's been physical to you.
Yeah,
that's a very low source of frustration.
I actually think there's a cultural issue, to be honest with you. That's not necessarily inclusive and it's not listening.
So what do you think of the present leader of the... What do you think of how the Liberal Party going in their strategy to try and unseat the Andrews government? And what do you think of the Andrews government? How are they going, in your humble opinion, Felicity Frederico?
my very humble opinion?
Yeah.
I think they will retain government. I think, you know, the Libs need to win 18 seats. I think that's a very tall ask. Mm. I can't see them winning 18 seats. So I think... And said before that people are politically homeless, they don't want to vote either way of the majors. And people are very frustrated and very annoyed about what's happened over the last 2 years with lockdowns, you know, with the way that we were treated over COVID. But I don't think that the Liberal Party are currently answering the community's appetite for change.
Couldn't agree with you more. I'm probably a Liberal, but pretty vapid opposition as we speak. They just don't seem to be... I agree with you that Andrews will probably... Are you a Republican, or now that the Queen's left us, or is that probably nothing to do with standing for an independent for the seat of Brighton?
No, probably not, but, you know, can have an opinion.
Yep.
I think it's inevitable that we will become a republic. I'd like to understand more about the Canadian model, because I think they've done it quite well. You know, they're still part of the Commonwealth.
Yeah, except for that fool of a man running the country, Justin Trudeau, who is an absolute moron.
But that's irrelevant whether it's the Republic.
It is too. Yeah. I just thought I'd gratuitously throw that in.
It is inevitable, but I don't think we can wait until at least the morning season's over.
Well, now,
Song.
No,
the Bohemian Rhapsody.
No.
Oh, no, sorry.
I don't know whether we should... I don't think it's relevant or respectful to have the debate within a week of her dying.
Oh, yeah, that's fair enough. Sorry, I thought you were talking about him. He sung Bohemian Rhapsody on the official morning day for Canada. Yeah. He was belting out Queen.
Oh, okay.
Now, you said before you think that Labor may get back in. You don't think it's a scenario similar to what Kennett faced in an unassailable...
Unlosable election.
Yes, the unlosable election, and getting knocked off by Labor. Nobody saw that coming. You don't think that could be the same because of the community feel towards the Labor government right now?
But, Don, you've also got this conundrum where have the right candidates necessarily been pre-selected? You know, personally, I'm really passionate as being a female, freedom of choice, and that comes down to abortion, you know... euthanasia, voluntary, you know, assisted dying. Candidates have been selected that are anti-abortion, anti-euthanasia. And for me, you know, that freedom of choice is really important. I don't know whether those candidates are going to resonate with the wider community.
So at some stage, I suppose the major political parties, that's the Labor Party and the Liberal Party, they... keep a track on who might get into a government and might not, and try and reach out to you or do deals with you, or saying we would be direct our preferences to you if you did this. If you had, do you get reached out to in politically speaking by
not,
any
not
of the major
yet.
Parties?
Not yet. But it is still 66 days away from the election and 54 days away from early polling.
But if it was apparent that you were probably going to win the seat, you would think that both the parties would say, well, can we direct preferences to you?
Sam, I'd love to be in that chair negotiating preferences.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
How would you go?
I remember when I was first elected onto Bayside Council, someone said to me, you know, you're going to be making a lot of decisions, just make sure you can sleep straight at night. And the same thing holds. You just be true to your values.
Well, Don, what do you think, Don? So,
I am.
Not what do you think of Felicity, but what do you think of where we're going here?
Which I did at the federal election. I just wish there was more information about independence to give the voter. We've been brought up in a two-party system, and I just wish there was more information about the independence so you can make a vote at the polling booth.
Well,
so when you go in to make your vote, you have got a little more information than what was available in my electorate for the federal
election. To that end, on this is why Felicity Federico is in here. We're giving more voice to the independents. We're not necessarily endorsing her, but we are very interested in what she has to say, and she hasn't said a hell of a lot of things that we disagree with, have we? Maybe about the climate change. I just don't understand how all that works.
Oh, that's just you, let's be honest.
That is just me. Yeah, but I'm not in your electorate. But I'd...
Tesla
would I vote for you? Of course I'd vote for you. But... So, thank you very much for coming in, Don.
And could I compliment you on the colours of your T-shirt.
It's bay blue.
It's bay blue, but it's very, very classy. I don't know whether it'll track, but I'd certainly wear that as an item of fashion.
Oh, don't I wouldn't wear, I don't think,
well, anyway.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing coming
from
Don?
I think it's very tastefully done, and who did it?
I have got an awesome team supporting me.
Well, who came up with the colourway?
That was a collective effort.
It's a washed blue, isn't it? With a washed yellow as well. I think it's very tasteful.
Thank you.
Well, everyone has a message to push, and we have on our caps, which we have You Cannot Be Serious, which is the name of our podcast. Don doesn't like A, the colour, B, the name, or C, the price. But other than that, we're going great with them. Now, Felicity Federico, the independent member, standing as the independent member for Brighton, we thank you for coming in and being part of You Cannot Be Serious. Is there anything you'd like to ask Don and I or Max about what makes us tick, or you don't think we'd give you any sensible or straight answer?
Can I ask you my favourite question? My favourite question is, mistakes are our best friends because we learn by them. What's the best mistake you've ever made?
Best mistake. Not the worst,
don't
the best.
Don't you dare look at me, you asshole.
I'm going to say.
Don't you look at me, you asshole.
thank you, Max. Yes, thank you. I was married to Max's... I wasn't married to Max's mother. That's a very, very touchy subject. God love him. Look at the boy there. Tony, isn't he? So mistakes. I've made too many mistakes to actually. But of course, if you don't learn by your mistakes, that's the main thing. But I wonder if I've learned by my mistakes. What mistake have you made, Don? Biggest mistake besides being married twice.
I get too bored too easily. I should have in some of my business.
Speak into the microphone.
Do you want it?
I want you to speak into it. I'm looking at the thing that goes on here with these bars. Go on.
I don't think I continued in my businesses long enough. I achieved a result. I'm always wanting a challenge. I should be satisfied and have stuck to some of my businesses in the past instead of going into new ventures.
Okay. No, I think I've been too affable and pleasant in life. I should have let myself go a bit and made enemies of people. I think that's probably the greatest mistake I've made. Don?
And I'd like a T-shirt too, please.
Well, you've got a T-shirt.
Well, have we got two or you've got one?
No, I've got one. I'll drop one.
Oh, no. Look, you can buy one from Felicity. You can have this one in the meantime. Felicity Federico, thank you very much for being part of You Cannot Be Serious.
I've had the best morning. Thank you.